Why is the Beijing Communist government so worked up over this issue? It is trying to bring legitimacy to its invasion of Tibet by showing the world that it plays a vital role in the spiritual life of the nation. It may also have been trying to announce the discovery of the new Benchen Lama at the 30th anniversary of China's naming part of Tibet the Tibet Autonomous Region. However, the Dalai Lama and the delegation from the Benchen Lama's monastery that was originally appointed by Beijing came to agreement on the same candidate, and the Dalai Lama announced the identification, no doubt to preempt Chinese interference. Beijing also makes the totally unfounded claim that the previous Chinese government, the Kuomintang, was involved in the identification of the present Dalai Lama. However, this flies in the face of ample historical evidence. When the enthronement of the Dalai Lama took place on February 22, 1940, the Chinese emissary, Wu Zhongxin, was treated like the other envoys from Bhutan, Sikkim, Nepal, and British India, and had no special role to play. The Kuomintang made absurd claims that the boy bowed to Beijing and that the Chinese emissary set the boy on the throne. Even a Tibetan official who was present at the enthronement and who has cooperated with the Chinese government, Ngabe Ngawan Jingme, vice chairman of the Standing Committee of the People's Congress, said on July 31, 1989, "We, the Communist Party, need not tell lies based upon Kuomintang lies." At that time, Comrade Cheng Feng of the United Front Ministry said, "In future, we will not say that Wu Zhongxin officiated at the enthronement of the 14th Dalai Lama." Today, in desperation, Beijing has reverted to the Kuomintang fabrication. Tellingly, despite the fact that Tibet has large monastic universities delving into all manner of philosophical issues such as whole and part, there has never been a word in the Tibetan language for a country that includes both Tibet and China. The policy of the present Chinese government toward Tibet is based on disregard and neglect of the needs and wishes of the Tibetan people. This must be reversed by indicating to Beijing in clear terms that the world does indeed take this issue seriously. Governments and non-governmental organizations should urge the Chinese authorities to free the Benchen Lama and those connected with his discovery, to allow him to be educated at his own monastery, and to allow him to travel freely. The United Nations should back the Dalai Lama's efforts to negotiate a settlement about the status of Tibet. Tibetan culture extends far beyond Tibet, stretching from the Kalmyk Mongolian areas near the Volga River in Europe, where the Volga empties into the Caspian Sea, through Outer and Inner Mongolia, the Buryat Republic of Siberia, through Bhutan, Sikkim, Ladakh, and parts of Nepal. In all of these areas, Buddhist ritual and scholastic studies are conducted in Tibetan. Youths came from throughout these vast regions to study in Tibet, especially in and around its capital, Lhasa, usually returning to their native lands after completing their studies, this being until communist takeovers in many of these countries. Thus, Tibetan culture is central to a vast area of Inner Asia, and its demise has far-reaching implications. This program should remind us of the treasures of Tibet. That concludes my introduction. And now, advice on dying and living a better life by His Holiness the Dalai Lama.